Picture a brilliant physicist with over 30 patents, someone who understands fiber optics at a molecular level, watching 90% of his wealth evaporate. Charlie Tien wasn't just smart, he was genius-level brilliant. Yet when the tech bubble burst in 2001, his intimate knowledge of the technology behind companies like Corning and Uplink couldn't save him from catastrophic losses. This wasn't a failure of intelligence. Sir Isaac Newton, perhaps history's greatest scientific mind, lost his entire fortune in the South Sea Bubble of 1720, later lamenting, "I can calculate the movement of stars, but not the madness of men." What separates investment success from disaster isn't IQ or technical expertise. It's understanding timeless principles that govern business value. Tien's journey from devastating loss to building GuruFocus.com, now used by over 500,000 investors monthly, reveals a roadmap that even Warren Buffett reportedly keeps on his office bookshelf. Tien's education came from four investment masters. Peter Lynch taught him that earnings ultimately determine stock prices, categorizing companies into six types: fast growers, 20% plus annual growth; stalwarts, 10% growth; slow growers; cyclicals; turnarounds; and asset plays. Had Tien examined his fiber optics company's earnings, he would have seen consistent losses. Lynch also emphasized financial strength. Companies without debt cannot go bankrupt. Tien now prefers companies whose operating income covers interest payments at least 10 times over. Warren Buffett refined this with three principles: buy wonderful companies at fair prices, concentrate investments in your best ideas. In 1951, Buffett allocated 75% of his $9,800 portfolio to Geico after just 4 hours of research, and hold wonderful businesses forever while intrinsic value grows. Donald Yachtman targeted non-cyclical businesses with short customer repurchase cycles: toothpaste, baking soda, condoms. During the tech bubble, his fund shrunk from $1.1 billion to $70 million, yet his discipline prevailed, outperforming the S&P 500 by 20% in 2000, 31% in 2001, and 33% in 2002. Traditional deep value investing, buying stocks at deep discounts to asset values, sounds irresistible, buying dollar bills for 40 cents. Benjamin Graham pioneered this approach, which early Warren Buffett practiced successfully. Deep value investors focus on balance sheets, using increasingly conservative metrics: tangible book value, net current asset value, net networking capital, and net cash. Buffett calls this cigar butt investing, finding a discarded cigar with one puff left. The problem? Mediocre businesses erode value over time. While value investors seek price convergence with value, poor businesses see their intrinsic value continuously decline, shrinking the margin of safety. As Buffett noted, time is the friend of the wonderful business, the enemy of the mediocre. Buffett learned this painfully with Berkshire Hathaway itself, his biggest investment mistake. Though purchased at less than half book value, Berkshire's net worth fell from $55 million to $22 million in 3 years due to operating losses. Additional problems include severe drawdowns during crashes, psychological difficulties selling during recoveries, insufficient qualifying stocks during bull markets, and tax inefficiency from short holding periods. Rather than buying deteriorating businesses at bargain prices, focus on wonderful companies. Yachtman's analogy: mediocre businesses are moving sidewalks, while good companies are escalators, continuously raising value. Good companies make timing less critical and eliminate permanent capital loss risk while offering tax efficiency and peace of mind. Examine financial statements across one business cycle with three questions. First, is the company consistently profitable with stable margins? Companies profitable every year from 2006 to 2015 delivered 11.1% annual returns, with only 2% losing money. Stable profit margins above 10%, especially above 20%, demonstrate economic moats protecting pricing power. Second, is it asset light with high return on capital? Asset-heavy businesses require constant reinvestment just to stay competitive. Asset-light businesses generate higher returns on invested capital with less debt. Among consistently profitable companies, only 20% achieve ROIC above 20%, and stock performance strongly correlates with ROIC and ROE. Third, is it continuously growing revenue and earnings? Companies that steadily grow while maintaining margins demonstrate competitive advantages, often seeing margin expansion as fixed costs don't scale proportionally. Among consistently profitable companies, only 15% grow earnings faster than 15% annually. The ideal business can replicate its model at larger scale over 5 to 10 years. Not all of Peter Lynch's six categories make suitable long-term investments. Asset plays, companies with valuable assets not reflected in stock price, are rarely good investments. Turnarounds, battered companies approaching bankruptcy, rarely turn around. As Buffett noted from painful experience, turnarounds seldom turn. The key distinction is whether a troubled company still possesses fundamental competitive strength and exceptional underlying economics. Cyclical businesses experience periodic expansion and contraction synchronized with economic cycles. These capital-intensive businesses require heavy fixed assets, can't quickly adjust capacity, and tends to overinvest during good times only to face overcapacity when demand falls. Industries like auto, airline, steel, oil and gas, and chemicals are highly cyclical. During recession years, even minor revenue declines resulted in profit collapses of 80% or more. Stalwarts, mid-sized companies growing at low double-digit rates, represent the ideal hunting ground. Companies like AutoZone, Amatec, and Jack Henry & Associates exemplify steady, profitable growers with high returns on capital and continued growth potential. Fast growers expanding at over 20% annually offer substantial rewards but carry significant risks. They may expand too rapidly, accumulate excessive debt, and their high valuations make them vulnerable if growth falters. Healthcare and consumer defensive sectors remain relatively insensitive to economic cycles. People still see doctors and purchase daily necessities regardless of economic conditions. Great companies at wrong prices destroy returns. Walmart hit $70 in 1999 at a PE of 60, then took 12 years to break even despite quadrupling earnings. Coca-Cola traded at $43 in 1998 with a PE of 95 and remains below that price 18 years later. The discounted cash flow model calculates value using expected future cash flows discounted at your opportunity cost rate. Growth assumptions dramatically impact intrinsic value. Projection periods should reflect economic moats. Companies like Coca-Cola selling identical products decades ahead deserve longer timeframes. Maintain the highest margin of safety given estimation uncertainty. Critical warning signs indicate businesses to avoid. Hot products in revolutionary technologies typically fail. Countless electric vehicle startups disappeared while Tesla survived. Cyclical businesses at peak earnings appear deceptively cheap. Rapid expansion without infrastructure, like WeWork's aggressive growth, frequently implodes. Value traps prove most dangerous. Companies appearing cheap but having permanently lost competitive advantage, like BlackBerry's fall from smartphone dominance, develop an investing checklist covering business nature, performance, financial strength, management quality, and valuation to avoid these pitfalls. Success doesn't require uncovering secrets. Simply investing in S&P 500 index funds beats 60% of actively managed mutual funds over 10 years. Focusing on consistently profitable companies with high investment returns achieves above-average results while lowering risk. A portfolio of 25 undervalued, predictable companies returned 15.7% annually versus the S&P 500's 12% from 2009 to 2016. When markets reach high valuations, disciplined investors hold cash rather than compromise on quality. While cash drags performance during bull markets, it becomes invaluable during downturns, enabling purchases at bargain prices. The stock market consistently rises over extended periods because it represents companies supplying our needs. Crashes create opportunities for substantial returns. The market swings between euphoria and depression like Howard Marks's pendulum. While valuation doesn't predict short-term movements, it reliably indicates future returns. As Charlie Munger noted, "All I want to know is where I'm going to die, so I'll never go there." Investment success isn't about predicting the future. It's about avoiding catastrophic mistakes, understanding what makes businesses valuable, and having discipline to wait for the right price. The greatest returns come from being the most patient and disciplined.